Hey, a quick note before I jump into this episode, because I'm recording this on the day after General Conference in October of 2016. As I was listening to the Saturday afternoon session, and Elder Oaks spoke, and he said this:
"Our efforts to share the gospel should not be limited to our circle of friends and associates. During the Olympics, we learned of an LDS taxi driver in Rio de Janeiro who carried copies of the Book of Mormon in 7 different languages and gave one to whoever would receive them. He called himself the cab-driving missionary. He said, 'The streets of Rio de Janeiro are my mission field.'"
So after I heard that quote, I said to myself, wow, what are the chances that I actually have an interview with Manuel Becerra, the taxi cab missionary, coming out 2 days after conference? All right, so here it is. The regularly scheduled interview. In this episode, we talk with a famous cab driver in Rio de Janeiro that gave out copies of the Book of Mormon during the Olympics.
"It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability."
Hello again. Welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kurt Frankum, and one thing you may not know about me was that I was the Rolling Meadows Elementary Marbles Champion in 1987 or something. I was like in fifth grade, and it's the only thing I've ever really succeeded at. No, I'm kidding. But yes, this is Leading LDS. Leading LDS, if you're not familiar with it, if you're new to Leading LDS, I welcome you. This is a great place to be among other leaders and people striving to be better in the context of the church. But Leading LDS is a resource, an online resource, that helps enhance the leadership ability for leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're not endorsed nor created by the church itself, but nonetheless, I haven't been told to stop. So I'm going to keep going. We don't do anything controversial here, just simply trying to help. And one way you can help Leading LDS is to contribute $1 a month to the cause that we're doing here. That's all we ask for the content we put together on Leading LDS is $1 a month. And at the end of the episode, I'll tell you how to do that. Now, in this episode, we head down to Rio de Janeiro. Now, that's probably a horrible Portuguese accent, but nonetheless, we're going to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. As you know, the Rio Olympics just concluded there. I'm recording this in September of 2016. And during the Olympics, you know, the local news stations love to just find random stories down there and share them with our culture back here in the United States and in Utah. And KSL, which if you're in Utah, is a very famous and well-known news outlet owned by the church. And they put together a story about a cab driver in Rio de Janeiro who is LDS. And as he drives people around during the Olympics, he hands out copies of the Book of Mormon. And obviously, he does this even when the Olympics aren't there. And so I thought, oh, it would be fun to reach out to him and hear how to be a better missionary. Because what part of missionary work doesn't relate to leadership, right? Being a great missionary is synonymous with being a great leader. So I thought we would connect with him and find out his secrets in sharing the gospel and the ways he goes about this. And he also is a member of his high council and a stake and just a true, humble, wonderful man, a saint that joined the church in 1991, and really, really a humble guy. So here is my interview with Manuel Becerra in Rio de Janeiro. Today, we're headed down south to the beautiful land of Brazil, to Copacabana Beach, just outside of Rio de Janeiro, to talk with Manuel Becerra. How are you, Manuel?
I'm doing very well, sir. I'm doing well, Kurt.
Good.
Life is wonderful.
Good. Now, I've got to keep practicing on your name, Manuel, right?
Manuel. You're doing a great job.
Well, I learned Spanish on my mission, so if I ever try and speak anything Portuguese, it usually comes out messy. So.
don't worry. You know, Spanish is just a broken Portuguese. So.
Nah. Oh, yeah?
Say that. Don't hold me accountable for that.
Nice. Nice. I have Mexicans that tell me different, but
yeah, right. They say Portuguese is a broken Spanish, so we are different. It's a tie,
right? Exactly. Yes. Now, We're recording this at the beginning of September of 2016. So how's the weather down there in Rio de Janeiro?
Today it's cloudy. It's drizzling. You know, it's not one of those gorgeous, beautiful days. You know, for the people that are visiting and going to the beach and going over to Corcovado to see the city. As I'm a cab driver, raining is a wonderful day because more people reach for the cab.
Nice. So, yeah. So you pray for rain as everybody else prays for sunshine. Huh?
Well, I just let it come. You know, when it comes, I appreciate it.
I bet. Well, that's fantastic. Now, the original way I got in contact with you, I saw a story on KSL here in Utah, and I'm sure there were other news outlets that carried the story of you being a cab driver and during the Olympics, which just ended there a few weeks ago, and sharing the gospel through sharing book copies of the Book of Mormon. And it was a wonderful experience. So how was it? How was the experience of having the Olympics there in Rio?
Oh, it was fantastic, Kurt. It was really amazing seeing the whole world was here. You know, many people, different people. You know, and they are all, you know, because of the Olympics, they were all very excited and having fun and having a good time. And, we showed them a lot of hospitality and good manners. It was amazing. Appreciated it.
That's fantastic. And so was it quite busy for you then as a cab driver? Is that the busiest you've been in a while?
Yes. It was very nice. I was very busy. And especially because on my cab, it's written English spoken.
Oh, nice.
So people really reach, you know, into me. They say, hey, come over there. You know, people,
they'd like to, have the cab driver understand them.
They prefer because, because they can have a conversation. I show them points of the city. I tell them a bit of the history. And, you know, it's a very interesting cab ride when you are a foreigner and the cab driver can, you know, communicate with you. It's quite interesting. It's very nice. And I feel happy.
Now, I definitely want to talk about, you know, your efforts in sharing the gospel during the Olympics there. But just generally speaking, what organization did the church take down there to leverage the Olympics and hopefully share the gospel through the Olympics? Were there certain programs or things that your local leaders encouraged you to do as a membership body?
I'm not aware of. We were told to, you know, if we could, to become volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of volunteers work on this event. I didn't because I had to work. So I don't have in mind anything in special that the church leadership would tell us to do. Just, you know, just be Mormon. Just be yourself.
Yeah, good. That's fantastic. And obviously you worked a lot, but you also shared the gospel a lot. So
yes.
Was it quite intentional or is this something that you always do, even outside of the Olympics? You always have copies of the Book of Mormon ready to be handed out.
Let me tell you, I'm a cab driver for less than 2 years. Brand new. I'm a baby cab driver. And I always heard about people that had never heard about the Savior. Uh-huh. So I hear about these people. I never met one of them. One day in my cab, a Chinese came in, and as we are talking, I understood the man had never heard about the Savior. I couldn't believe he was right there in my back seat. It was, what can I do now? And I told him, I spoke to him about the statue, the Corcovado statue, and he said, yes, I was there, but who is this guy? And I couldn't believe it. And I didn't have anything else to show him. From that moment on, I decided I would have a Book of Mormon Chinese. Because that's what I thought by there and then. And I didn't have it. So I went to church, to a mission office. And they got me Chinese and Japanese. Because they didn't know the difference. So they take both of them. And then we found out one of them is written Chinese. So, I started right there. And then after that experience, experience, I already gave, I guess it was only one Chinese, but I already gave one Book of Mormon Chinese out. And but then I realized, well, what about Italian and Spanish and English and, you know, of course, Portuguese. And then now I have nine different languages in my cab.
You know, wow.
That's the way it started.
So can you list off all the nine languages you have?
Let's try. Chinese, Japanese, okay, Portuguese, English, Spanish, French, Italian, German, and we are missing one. Maybe it's eight. I counted eight over here on my finger.
All right. Well, that's pretty good nonetheless.
Yeah.
So, and at some point you've given out a copy of each language?
I beg your pardon?
At some point, you've given out at least one copy of each one of those languages?
Yeah, no, I haven't given them all.
You're ready to...
Italian, I have never given one, but I already did it in German. No, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I would have to...
But nonetheless, you're ready to go if they do speak those languages. That's great.
If they are willing to get it, they will, because it's right there. No, nice. Some people just say no, I'm sorry, you know, thank you, but okay, fine, the book's still mine.
Yeah.
You know.
So are you an independent contractor, or do you have a contract through a certain cab company there?
No, it's not a company. It's, you know, I don't own the cab. I don't, you know, the medallion is not mine. I have just a permission to drive it. So it belongs to someone else. And this guy is just an investor. And so he bought the cab, he bought the medallion, and he needed someone to drive for him. And
There you are.
Yes.
Great. So they don't have, I mean, there wouldn't be any restrictions on you sharing the gospel or anything. You're sort of your own, your own boss to that extent. That's great.
Yes. I am.
That's great. So any specific story, you talked about the first one that influenced you to get the copies of the Chinese Book of Mormon. Any after that, as you've shared copies of the Book of Mormon, any experiences stand out over others?
Yeah, some people I feel I want to, let me think a little bit.
Feel free to.
So I know that some people are ready, you know, they are searching, they are looking for it. And then they find me and somehow they say, you know, they feel something different inside my cab. You know, I listen to classical music, and you know, I might say that I know how to talk a little bit. I know, you know, it's you know, and usually cab drivers don't.
Oh yeah, they just drive to the destination and
they're not there. They want your money and that's it. And they, if they can make more money, it's even better. You know, if you can make another extra turns, and it doesn't happen in my cab. So, you know, people see the difference, and people are always ask, well, how long are you a cab driver, sir? And, you know, some people say, well, I came inside, I was so upset and listening to your music. So we can, you know, we are always, I'm always looking for, you know, where can I come in and where can I give this book? And I, no, but
It sounds like regardless if you share the specific, you know, principles of the gospel, nonetheless, as people come into your cab, you just try to lighten their day and create a happy atmosphere so that they can obviously be open to the Spirit if that opportunity gives itself, right?
That's what it is. Yeah, exactly. You said it right.
That's great. So have you stayed in touch with anybody that you've given a Book of Mormon to?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Have you stayed in contact with anybody that you've given a Book of Mormon to?
My card is glued to the book. To the
Oh, nice.
So I tell them, listen, if you need any other information, you know, here I am. This is my card. I glue it there. But nobody got back to me so far. Nobody.
Well, I'm sure you've planted a seed, and down the road, at least they'll have a phone number to call.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's true.
Now, I remember from the KSL report that you're a convert to the gospel. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a convert.
How long ago was that, and what
25 years ago, it was in New York.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah, I was living in New York, and I had so many problems, you know, in my own life and in my family's life, that one day I knelt down. And then I asked for help. For the first time, I prayed vocally, and I said, listen, can't you see that I need help? You got to help me. And amazing enough, 1 week after that, the two sisters knocked on my door.
Oh, wow.
And 5 minutes talking to those sisters, I knew that was the answer to my life, you know, and to my problems. And, you know, I just knew. And I became very obedient. Whatever they would say, I would do. And 1 month after that, I was baptized. And this is a nice story. I'm going to go ahead and say.
Yeah, please. Know,
I was baptized July 7, 1991, very early in the morning, like 7 o'clock in the morning. I was confirmed by Elder Mahino, and then we went through sacrament, and after sacrament and priesthood, I got the priesthood. I was ordained a priest, and then I got to baptize my kid's mother in the evening, 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I never saw this happen anywhere. I always tell the missionaries, you know, have a good man, have him doing this, because this was amazing. I didn't know what I was doing, exactly what I was doing, but I knew I was there baptizing, and good enough. Oh man, I had his name right here. President Child, you know, he was a mission president, Sheldon Mapp Child. He was there, and no, he participated in me baptizing my kid's mother. And then I will still go ahead. And then I had to leave for 1 week, 1 or 2 weeks. My brother went to visit me in New York. So I said, well, I won't be here for 2 weeks. And then I came back 2 weeks after that. I parked my car. President Child parked his car ahead of mine, just in front of my car. And he comes out of the car and he says, Brother Bezerra, how are you? And I couldn't believe he knew my name. And I was, oh, what's going on? And I didn't know his name. And wow, that impressed me a lot. So it was, you know, lots of great experiences bringing into this wonderful gospel.
Nice. And I believe President Child later went on to become a 70, right?
Yes, and, yes. And he was in charge of Asia, the Philippines, I guess.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I believe he was the temple president of the Salt Lake Temple for a while. That's the temple I attend. So.
Oh, good information.
There. So, yeah. Yeah. Know. Good man. He's the brother of the famous owner of the R.C. Willie stores that are in there in Utah and across the country. So. Yeah, that's cool. So and you converted to the gospel in 1991 and never looked back, huh?
Oh, no. I used to say, Kurt, I have been to hell, and I don't want to go back there.
Yeah,
you know, I'm good here. You know,
that's great.
But it's worth it.
And you raised your family in the gospel? You said you had children?
I had one child by then. You know, Amelia, my older, she's 25 now, and I tell her I had to get the gospel and the priesthood to raise her.
Yeah.
You know, she was the main reason for me to. Father knew that. And then we try, you know, it's completely different, your best than my best, and then somebody else's best, you know. I see so many mistakes I did, you know, this last 25 years, but I'm still trying my best. You know, Amelia is still active. My second daughter, Elena, is not active right now. She doesn't want to know anything about the church. Their mother is also inactive. And my son, I just ordained him a teacher last Sunday.
Oh, fantastic.
He just turned 14, so he's there with me. He's going to the temple tonight. He's always looking forward to go to the temple trips.
Yeah.
So, you know. And
That's great.
Yeah.
Great. And since you were baptized, what have been some of your favorite callings over the years that you've had?
I can tell you that ward secretary.
Oh, yeah? The executive secretary or a clerk?
Yeah. Oh. clerk. I'm sorry. Secretary clerk. Is in yeah. Portuguese. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Yeah, ward clerk. And I did financial and I did membership. I did on both. Uh-huh. And to deal with this record that will go where we know it will go. So this is an amazing calling. And have the, you know, the records to the members and help them out. And this was, let me tell you, the LDA, the KSL interview happened because Kiwish, the sister there, Kiwish, she was an hour and a half at least away from this brother that called me. Called me right now. He's our former state president. He, Elder Pinto, he was called an Area 70.
Oh, great.
So the interview should have been done with him.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was just a cab driver that would take a Kiwish to him. But traffic made it impossible. She said, well, I can't drive, you know, an hour and a half there and then an hour and a half back. And this is going to take too long. Are you LDS? I said, yes, I'm LDS. So you're going to be interviewed.
Oh,
that's the way it happened.
Really?
So I explained to him, listen, now I'm being, you know, there is a second interview now. So.
Oh, yeah. Great. So the original interview, the KSL wanted to get in touch with this Area 70, Elder Pinto, right?
Yes.
And it was too far away. So they looked at for the closest Mormon, and that was you.
a 0.7, and then I was there.
Nice. Well, that's great. And nonetheless, there was a great story behind it, and now that's led to us talking. So it was definitely meant to be, for sure.
Father knows. He knows.
That's great. That's great. Well, I wanted to ask you just about the church in Brazil. I know you're currently serving as a member of the High Council in your stake. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And how long have you been serving in that role?
I would say a little over a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great. And so what's your week-to-week assignments look like? Are you do you visit a specific ward or what responsibilities do you have?
I relieve society. I have to be in touch with Relief Society, and I was given a ward to visit, and then there was a change. I was visiting the ward that's in the stake, and then like 2-3 months ago, I was given my own ward to visit.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was assigned to help with the high priest group leader. And, you know, because of lack of leadership in my ward. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's my assignment.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm very happy because this way I can take my son. My son was going by bus.
Oh, okay.
You know, he was just catching the bus early in the morning to go. And now, you know, he's going with me. He's coming to church with me.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great. So, I lost my train of thought. How would you describe your stake there in Brazil? How long does it take maybe to drive to one end of the stake to the next?
Okay. How long it takes to drive? Well, in a Sunday morning, it would take like half an hour to drive to one end to the other.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Half an hour, you do it.
So it's manageable. So
yes.
That's great.
To drive, right? Not taking the bus. That will take longer. Yeah. But if you can drive.
Yeah. So how would you describe this, the general church in Brazil, that they're in your area in Rio de Janeiro? Obviously in April, when was it? April of 2013, President Monson announced the Rio de Janeiro temple to be built. And that groundbreaking still hasn't happened. But that, nonetheless, that's a sign that the church is healthy and strong in Rio de Janeiro.
It is. We have very good membership here, very good women, very good sisters, and very good brothers, because Rio de Janeiro is, it's a place of many, many temptations. Mm. The beach is here, you know, but women, they are, let me say hot. And and we are very, and the men, we are faithful. We You know, we have to close our eyes sometimes. We have to look at the other, you know, direction. We have to be very strong.
Yeah, for sure. A beautiful beach, and there's a lot of worldly temptation there that you just have to,
yes,
to keep in check, right?
Yes, yes. And so it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to, you know, to resist to all this, and, you know, it's...
And stand strong among the saints, right?
Yeah, and, you know, takes a lot of knowledge, you know, because nobody is saved in ignorance, right? So we have to know, we have to be into it, we have to study, you know, and the brethren do, you know, the LDS members in Rio are, you know, very strong. It's amazing. Maybe the same with you happened when you were serving your mission during a Fast and Testimony Sunday. We have to say, okay, now nobody else comes in, you know, comes up because we have a lack of time here. Yeah. This happens in Brazil. Every Sunday, Fast and Testimony Sunday, the bishop has to say, okay, whoever is here will bear the testimony. And
yeah, well, so, that's great. They're anxious to share and participate in the gospel.
Yes, that's
inspiring to hear.
It's amazing.
So you mentioned your son sometimes takes the bus to church. How long does it take for you to travel to your chapel and attend church?
From my place to the chapel,
uh-huh,
driving 15 minutes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So, I mean, that's always inspiring to hear, you know, internationally when the church isn't spread out too much. But obviously Brazil, it's a... you know, comparable to other countries, it's a mature church there, right?
Yeah. I mean, church is here for 50 something years.
Nice.
No. More than that. I think church started in Brazil in 1930s.
Wow. But yeah, it's been around a while, right?
Yeah. It started in the south of Brazil in German speaking missionaries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then,
that's great.
It was spreading. President Faust served the mission over here. I could tell you, I haven't read it, but there is a book about the church in Brazil, which is From Acorn to an Oak Tree. This is a book that tells about the history of the church in Brazil. Yeah,
wow.
You're going to enjoy reading it.
I will definitely link to it so that others that are listening can check that out. Sounds a great part of church history. So, last few questions, Manuel, just to help others that are maybe striving to be better missionaries in their day-to-day life. I like how you mentioned that you just simply create a positive atmosphere, you know, that they feel happy in and they want to be in. Any specific way that you start that conversation that leads to you handing them a Book of Mormon?
No, you know, sometimes you see families coming in,
mm-hmm,
right? Mom, daddy, and, you know, the kids. And, well, that's all we need, right? You know, good families, you know. Sometimes we see people that, you can feel, you can sense that they are, you know, not so well. They need some help. No, there is not any specific way. You just go by the Spirit, and you know, it. Most of the times, it leads to, you know, the Spirit guides both of us, me and the passengers, and, you know, the conversation merges to good principles. You know, how to live life, how to get away from these big problems that are everywhere. And, you know, there is nothing. No, I don't have a technique. I don't.
Sure.
No.
But you just be yourself, and you're obviously very friendly, and you don't mind talking and being open to them sharing their personal feelings. And hopefully from there, it turns into a discussion about the gospel. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's inspiring. Well, Manuel, as just a final question here, as you, man, it's look back on the 25 years of being a member of the church and now sharing the gospel in such a fun and unique way. As you've shared the gospel, how has that made you a better disciple of Jesus Christ?
Good question. Well, you feel humble, right? You feel that you're just the dust of the earth. But in the other hand, you feel that you are part of the biggest, what's the word here now, the biggest event to humanity, you know, the biggest great. I mean, I'm looking for a word here, but I'm quite sure you understand me. You know, yeah. We are just, I'm just nothing. I'm just Mr. Nobody. But I have the privilege of helping the greatest of all. I don't think he needs me, but he's, you want to help him. And, you know, being able to convey this message and to share, and, you know, it's amazing. You know, the promise is all that Father has can be ours. And I want it so much, because all that he has is really everything. There is nothing left. So, yeah, it amazes me. I stand all amazed. I can say that.
That concludes my interview with Manuel Bezerra in Rio de Janeiro. You know, I feel so blessed being able to do these interviews and reach out to members across the world and interview them, because people like Manuel are just so humble, and they're inspiring to hear him share his testimony, hear him get choked up about what the gospel's done for him and how he was converted. And now, day to day, how he shares the gospel in its 8 or 9 languages, you know, with the copies of the Book of Mormon he has in his cab. And what an inspiration. I hope that we can all figure out ways to consider how we go about our day-to-day life and how we can be prepared to share the gospel, you know. And he spends time to put his card, you know, glue his card on each one of these books, and he's ready to go. You know, he's ready, and the Lord obviously puts people in front of him. And I have no doubt that these seeds that he's planted will lead, if not have already led, to baptisms and people joining the church. So take some steps today and figure out how you can better serve and share the gospel. As always, all we ask for the content that we produce at Leading LDS is $1 a month. You can contribute by going to leadinglds.org/help, H-E-L-P. At the top of that page is a simple link that'll lead you to our Patreon page, where you can contribute $1 a month. And if you haven't contributed yet, there's either two reasons you haven't. One, you simply haven't gotten around to it, or you listen to this when you're driving your car and you're not in front of your computer to make the contribution. And I encourage you to set a reminder or do so and make extra effort today to contribute that dollar a month. The second reason you may not contribute is you don't think the value is high enough to contribute. And hey, I'm going to be the first to admit, maybe sometimes the value isn't there. If that's the case, instead of contributing $1 a month, email me and tell me what parts of Leading LDS could be improved or changed so that the value would be there. I want to match that value of that dollar a month that you contribute to Leading LDS, or that I ask that you contribute to Leading LDS. And it's humbling to see as people go in there and contribute. Many are contributing, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month, $50 a month. And so I sure appreciate that. And it is going a long way in making this easier for us to focus on and create content related to enhancing the leadership ability in the church. All right, my friends, I love you. And remember, be a leader and not a calling.